of Likutei Moran, in the first chelik, Torah Beis. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 3, the right-hand column, paragraph Dalid, is where we're up to. We'll give a very short synopsis of what we had up until this point in this chapter, in this Torah, and we'll continue from there. Rabbeinu Zal began this chapter on Likutei Moran by saying that the main Klei Milchama of Moshiach is Tefillah, and all of his conquerings are going to be through Tefillah, and that's his main source of Chiyus. Just as the Torah says, when Hashem created Adam HaRishon, Vayipach bi'apov nishmas chayim, Hashem sent the neshama into Adam HaRishon via his nostrils, via the nose. That's the main place where the chiyus of Adam HaRishon came from. The neshama, kol asher nishmas ruach chayim bi'apov. There's a pasuk like that. So too, Rabbeinu Zal says that Moshiach is called ruach apeinu Moshiach Hashem. Moshiach is compared to the nose, the nostrils, which means Moshiach represents the ikar chiyus, and the ikar chiyus, Rabbeinu Zal says, is from tefillah. And Rabbeinu Zal proved it from psukim. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that this weaponry of tefillah, and we know it is referred to as a weapon. In the Chumash, we say, Yaakov Avinu said, Asher lokachti miyad ho'emori, becharbi ubekashti. I conquer the city of Shechem with my sword and with my bow. And the Gemara says he couldn't mean literally a sword and bow, because there's another pasuk that says, Ki loy vekashti eftoch, where David HaMelech says, I don't have any faith in my bow, in my bow and arrow. So that when Yaakov Avinu used the words becharbi ubekashti, he's referring to tefillah and bakosha, the Gemara says. And the Gemara proves that cherev refers to tefillah, because there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Roimemois kel begroinom, v'cherev pifiois biyodom. They give praise to Hashem with their throats, and they carry a double-edged sword in their hand. So we see that the tefillah is compared to this double-edged sword. Rabbeinu Zal explained why the double edge, because the minimum requirements for a tefillah is two parts. Shvachoi shel mokoim, acknowledging what Hashem has done for us till now, and she'ilas tzrochov, and then asking from Hashem whatever we want to ask. And Rav Nosson Zal explained in Likutei Halachos what's the importance of Shvachoi shel mokoim. Why is it so important for a person to first praise Hashem and thank Hashem for what Hashem has done for the person up until that point before making any further requests? There's one logical reason, which is that a concept of show of appreciation. When a person comes to somebody asking for something, one of the things that's very good at opening up that person's heart for them to be willing to give you is if they see that you show appreciation. If they see that you didn't forget what they did for you in the past. A person who comes to somebody and says, I want you to know that everything you've done for me till now, I appreciate very, very much. And there's no way I could possibly thank you. But now I find myself once again having to come to you to ask you, even before this person says what they want to ask, the other one, the one from whom you're asking, has a very good feeling, because they say, oh, if this person's coming to me and all he does is he comes and asks for new things, he's constantly asking for things, when is this going to stop? He probably forgot everything I did for him in the past, so every day he figures like he's coming and this is the first thing that he's asking me for. So he feels comfortable in coming and asking again and again. But if a person comes and says, I want you to know that I acknowledge every single thing you've done for me till now, but still I find myself having to come on to you, that's something that opens up the other person's heart. That's a logical reason. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Nachlois, gives a second reason, a very important reason. Rav Nosson Zal says that because tefillah is so important, the Yetzer Hara tries very hard to mess up a person's tefillah. One of the ways that the Yetzer Hara is able to weaken a person's tefillah, make it much less effective, is if the person is lacking in self-confidence. If a person approaches lahavdil, we know that this is true when it comes to physical battle. You can have a person that's carrying a gun that's much more powerful than the gun that the one that's coming against them is. But if the person is rach halevov, if the person is weak inside, they're lacking in self-confidence, the other one's going to win. Even if you're stronger, if the other one has more self-confidence, he can come with a gvura shebelev, an internal strength that the person has, he can come and beat somebody that's physically bigger and stronger than him. Rav Nosson Zal says on Likutei Halachos that the same thing holds true beruchnis. When a Jew gets up before Hashem to daven, and the person doesn't really believe that Hashem is listening to every word that I'm saying, or doesn't really believe that Hashem would want to give me what I'm asking for, that person's tefillah is nowhere, is not really effective, period. A Jew must really believe in the effectiveness of tefillah in order for it to be effective. Just like we find this mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch as halacha lemaisa, when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch says if a Jew doesn't believe that Yom Kippur has the power to forgive for all the sins you've done in the previous year, it doesn't. For that person that doesn't believe in it, it doesn't work. Whereas for a person who does believe in it, it does work. So too when it comes to tefillah. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is one of the main reasons why the Chachamim instituted that in all the tefillahs that we say, in the Shmon Esrei, Elekei Avrom, Elekei Yitzchok, Elekei Yaakov, Goymel, Chasodim, Toivim, V'Koinei Akoil, why do we say those words? Why are we talking about the greatness of Hashem? This is to strengthen our self-confidence. We're saying clearly that we know that Hashem is the Hashem. He's family to us. It's mishpacha. That Hashem is the father of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, which is our family. And Hashem is goymel chasodim toivim. He has done wonderful things in the past. And there's no reason for Hashem suddenly to deviate from the path that he's taken until now. These are all things to strengthen our confidence that when we do start making requests, we're saying it with a serious feeling of self-confidence and seriousness that Hashem is listening and Hashem wants to help and can help and does help. So this is why a tefillah must be made up of these two parts. Number one, what you're asking for, but preceded with this item that boosts a person's confidence, which is the Shvochei Shel Mokoyim. Then Rabbi Nezal said that once a person is zeche, now this double-edged sword, what does a person do with a sword when they go out to war? They carry it in their hand the whole time? No, the sword is worn in a sheath that's worn in a belt that the person ties around their thighs. It's a pasuk in the Torah, chagoyer charbecho al yorech. Wrap your sword around your thighs. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this refers to the Inyan. The Yerech is the Inyan of Tikkun HaBris. The Gemara says, Ma Yerech B'Seser, Avdivrei Torah B'Seser. The thighs refer to the area that relates to purity in Zechorim, dealing with Zohar and Akeva, dealing with the whole issue of Tikkun HaBris. So Rabbi Nezal says that a person should know that part of the effectiveness of one's tefillah is dependent on how pure the Tikkun HaBris of that person is. Chagoyer charbecho al yorech. Rabbi Nezal quotes other psukim to support this also. Then Rabbi Nezal says, okay, now that you have a sword and your sword is wrapped around your loins, now there's another point. With a sword, you have to know how to deal. You can cut the person's toes and calves and feet and everything and not really maim the person, not really render that person finished. You have to be able to wield the sword in such a way that it's koilei al asara v'lo yechdo, that the blow is a focused blow, it strikes at the center, and it accomplishes what it's intended to. Rabbi Nezal says so too with tefillah. A tefillah has to be focused at the center. If tefillah is compared to a sword, there's a reason why. In certain ways it resembles the manner that a sword is used in. That tefillah also has to be centered. How do you center, meaning not to go too far to the right, too far to the left? We explained last week what this means, for a person not to be underconfident or overconfident in the tefillah. For a Jew to say, I don't have to daven, Hashem is wonderful, Hashem is so good, Hashem is excellent, Hashem is gracious, Hashem is kind. Hashem wouldn't want me to have to suffer in shul for 2 hours straight and daven, or on Yom Kippur to stand there for 12 hours straight. If Hashem is so wonderful, why would He want this of me? That's one way of looking at it. And on the other hand, that's too much to the right. That's misjudging Hashem in saying Hashem is too kind, more kind than He really is. Hashem does demand something from us. Hashem says, "Psach li pesach kipischoi shel machat, v'ani eftach lecho pesach kipischoi shel ulam." You give me a little opening, you show something, and I'll stretch it. But something must be shown by the individual person themselves. On the other hand, you have a person who goes too much to the left. A person says, why should I daven? Hashem killed 6 million Jews. Hashem isn't listening to what I'm saying anyway. Hashem doesn't care. All of these things, that's veering too much to the left. Judging Hashem chas v'sholem and being more midas hadin than He really is. When in fact, kaviyochel Hashem wants us, regarding tefillah, which is the cherev, Hashem wants us to look at Hashem dead center, to look at the middle of the road path. That on one hand, Hashem demands and insists that we make an effort to receive things from Hashem, and that effort and demand is shown in our tefillah. The pasuk says, harchev picho va'amalehu, widen your mouth and I'll fill it. According to how much a person's davens, that's how much they merit receiving things from Hashem. On the other hand, a person has to know that it's not my tefillah that did it. It's the kindness of Hashem, the graciousness of Hashem, the goodness of Hashem that I'm depending on. Not my strength, my wonderful words, and this and that. There has to be some type of a pshara, compromise, where a person is walking right between these two attitudes, right in the middle of these two attitudes. So Rabbeinu Zal said, how does a person develop this art of centering the sword? That's totally in Mishpat. Because Mishpat, the Zohar HaKadosh calls Amud Adam Tzisa. Mishpat is center. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted Psukim Yechalkel Devorov BaMishpat, many Psukim to show how Tefillah requires Mishpat. The purpose of the Mishpat is to center this tefillah that's compared to a sword. You want the sword to strike at the center in order for it to be really effective. That requires Mishpat. What is Mishpat? That's what we're about to explain now. Rabbeinu Zal says now, Vayidei ma zoyche lebechinas Mishpat. Through what is a person zoyche to this Mishpat, which helps a person center their tefillah, which helps a person perfect this attitude, come to the exact proper attitude that they're supposed to have regarding tefillah, so that that person's tefillah should be truly effective. Rabbeinu Zal says, Al yidei tzedakah, through tzedakah, by giving charity, that's what generates the mishpat that's needed to focus this sword. Shal yidei tzedakah, oichazin b'midas ha-mishpat. Through tzedakah, a person is actually fulfilling this concept of mishpat. How do we know? Rabbeinu Zal is going to bring proof from psukim first, as is his custom. Kemoi shekosuv, as the pasuk says, tzidkas Hashem osa u'mishpatov. You have fulfilled the righteousness of Hashem and His mishpatim. So we see that tzedakah and mishpat go together. Tzidkas Hashem also, you did tzedakah u'mishpatov. Automatically, you fulfilled the mishpat. Number two, u'kemoi shekosov, there's a second pasuk that connects mishpat and tzedakah to Yaakov Avinu. Because we had learned earlier that Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of perfection in this cherev of tefillah. He's the one who said, Asher lokachti miyado amoyri becharbi ubekashti. And he's the one who gave this power to Yosef HaTzadik. Rabbeinu Zal says, there's another pasuk that says, Mishpat utzedoko biyakoy. That both Mishpat and Tzedoko are found in Yaakov Avinu. So we see that Mishpat and Tzedoko go together. Ki tzedoko hu al yedei mishpat. Rabbeinu Zal says, the concept of a Jew giving tzedoko can only come about through mishpat, through a judgment. What's the judgment? K'may shekosov, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Elokim shofet zeyashpil v'zeyorim. Hashem is a judge. What does a judge do? A judge is one who decides between two people that are in litigation. Two people are arguing over $1,000. Who does this belong to? This one says the thousand is mine, this one says the thousand is mine. The judge is the one that's going to make a decision to say, I take it away from this one, I subtract from this one's, and I add to this one. Rabbein Azal said, the Pasuk says, Elokim Shofet Zeyashpil Vezeyorim, Shemoyrish Lozeo Ma'ashir Lozeh. The concept of Mishpat, the concept of judgment, is a concept of impoverishing one, making one smaller, and making the other, the second one, bigger. Ukishenoisein tzedoko, and whenever a Jew opts to give tzedoko, who bebechinas ze yashpil, he's fulfilling this concept of mishpat. He's fulfilling the part of the pasuk ze yashpil. He's lowering one guy. Who's the guy? Shemachaser momoinoi. He's subtracting from his own wealth. Until now, I had $600,010. By giving $10 to tzedoko, I became $10 poorer. Vizeyorim Shema Shiloni, and he's elevating the second person by adding to his wealth, increasing to him. Nimtza. So we see that through the act of tzedakah, she'oiches alidei zeh b'midas mishpat. Through the act of a person giving tzedakah, he's grabbing hold of this concept of mishpat. He's actually sitting in a judgment. In order to come to the decision to part with $10, it means I had to make a mishpat. I had to create a compromise. This whole concept of centering something. A person can be shooting too high or too low, or shooting right in the middle. How do you develop this art of shooting in the middle? Through the mitzvah of tzedakah. Because the concept of tzedakah is a concept of making a compromise between me and him. If I see this person and I decide to take $10 out of my pocket and give it to him, it's because I've come to the conclusion that I'm far enough above him that it necessitates my lowering myself towards him and my picking him up towards me. And centering, coming to a process of coming to a midpoint, coming to some compromise. So Rabbeinu Zal says the act of tzedakah in conjunction with tefillah is how a person fulfills a concept of mishpat. And mishpat is amud adam tzisa. The Zohar HaKadosh calls mishpat center, the middle. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ubishvil zeh tzorech lahafrish tzedakah koydem ha'tefillah." This is why the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch say in Hilchas Tefillah that part of a person's davening, shachris or other tefillos, is that a Jew is required to separate money for tzedakah, to designate money for tzedakah before you begin to daven, before you begin a tefillah. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Yohiv Pruta Vohodar Matzli. Rabbi Elazar would first give a coin to tzedakah and then daven. Why? Based on a pasuk, Va'ani betzedek ech ze ponecho. Va'ani betzedek ech ze leka. There are psukim that say that with tzedakah, I come to see Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says here that now we know another reason why to give tzedakah, why to designate some money for tzedakah before you begin to daven. Kidei sheyuchal lechalkel dvorov b'mishpat. Because the act of giving tzedakah is what envelops your words of tefillah with mishpat, sheyehe koilea l'asayro v'loyechta, so that your tefillah should strike at the center, bullseye, and not off to the sides, not to the right, not to the left, not above, below. The act of tzedakah is what gives your tefillah this focus to really be effective. Now note just a point on the side that Rabbeinu Zal here uses the lashon lahafrish tzedakah. The Arizal tells us that the exact point in tefillah where it's best for a Jew to give tzedakah is in Vayivorech David, in Shachris, when a person says the words V'ato Moshel Bakol, you Hashem rule over everything. At that point is when the Arizal says a Jew should give tzedakah. And the Arizal proves through Kabbalah how that section of the davening relates very, very well to the mitzvah of tzedakah. The question is, was the Arizal arguing on the Gemara? Chas v'shalom. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, you have pruta v'domatzli. Well, the Gemara discusses being mafrish tzedakah before davening. The answer is, I was privileged to see my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha fulfill both of these very easily. Before he started davening, he would take out a coin from his wallet or from wherever he kept his regular money and put that coin into a separate pocket. He would be mafrish the money for tzedakah before davening. How? By putting it in a separate pocket or putting it on the table, doing an act of showing I'm designating this money for tzedakah. However, he would put it into the pushka or put it into the oni's hands when he said the words V'ato Moshel Bakoyim. By doing this, he fulfilled both aspects of the Gemara. But in any case, here Rabbeinu Zal is showing us why tefillah requires tzedakah. And what the tzedakah does for the tefillah, it gives it mishpat. It gives the sword this center. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh shom razal." This is why the Gemara says in Baba Basra, "Lo monosan Yaakov v'sabchiro liyosef b'shvil shechilke loisoy." We know, we explained earlier, that Bechira is synonymous with Tefillah. Bechira, which means the birthright, the Bechira is the one whom the Gemara says inherits a double portion. Bechira is synonymous with double. We mentioned that the Vilna Goin says that if you look at the word Bechira, every letter represents two. Beis is two, Chaf is 20, Resh is 200. 2, 2, 2. Showing that the concept of Bechira is a concept of double, just as Tefillah is a concept of double, this double-edged sword, these two parts, Shvachai Shel Mokoyim and Shilat Tzrochim. So now Rabbeinu Zal goes back on this point. This is why the Gemara says, why was Yosef HaTzadik Zeichet to receive the birthright from Yaakov Avinu? The Gemara mentions two reasons. One reason is because Reuven forfeited it. How did he forfeit it? Al Yedei Shechilel Yitzuei Oviv, because he disgraced the bed of his father. In moving the bed, in making a decision, after Rachel Imenu passed away, to move his mother's bed in, by trying to interfere, in a sense, in this decision, this was considered in a tiny, tiny way, an act of Chilul Habris. So that's how he forfeited the Bechira, because as we explained earlier, Bechira is a concept of Tikkun Habris, because the sword is attached to the loins, it's attached to the Yerech, and the Yerech is a concept of Tikkun Habris. But there's a second reason also. So fine, that's how Reuven forfeited. How did Yosef HaTzadik pick it up? The answer is, the Gemara says, Lo monosan Yaakov v'zabechayro liyosef b'shvil shechilke loisoy. Because of the fact that Yosef HaTzadik supported his father, he gave charity to his father when his father was a charity case, when his father came down to Mitzrayim, and he needed, Yosef HaTzadik was the viceroy of Egypt, and at that time he supported his father. That's when he really clinched the fact that he acquired the Bechira. B'shvil shechil keloi said, the Gemara says, because he supported him. And the Gemara says, Moshe l'balabayis shegidel yosoim b'sech beisoi. This is compared to a person who raises an orphan in his house, and as soon as the orphan gets older, he turns around and pays back, tries to pay back. So to here, as soon as Yaakov Avinu was in a position to give something to Yosef, he did. What did he give him? He gave him Shechem. He gave him this double portion. He gave him the Bechira, the birthright, which is symbolized by this double portion. Kemoy Shekos, as the Pasuk says, Vayechalkel Yosef es oviv es echov lechem lefi atav. The Pasuk says that Yosef HaTzadik supported his father and his brothers according to how many children they had. He gave each one a stipend according to how much they needed. Now Rabbeinu Zal makes a second point. This lefi hataf, hataf means small children, and hataf also means to speak. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Kemoy hatef el doroin." There's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says, "Speak to the south." So we see that hataf means dibur, meaning hainu. When it says, "Vayichalkel Yosef esov v'esecho," Yosef HaTzadik supported his father and brothers lefi hataf. And that affected his dibur. That affected his koyach hatfila. Because he supported them, the tzedakah that he gave them was part of what made his tefila so effective. That's what gave him the zechusa, the birthright, which represents the ikar koyach hatfila. Hainu, shehoyo shigura tefilosei befiv al yidei tzedakah. Yosef HaTzadik was zeche that his tefila flowed smoothly from his mouth through his tzedakah. Vayidei tzedakah she'oso nosan la'yakov shubechinas mishpot es habechayra shubechinas tefila. And through the tzedakah that Yosef HaTzadik did, Yaakov Avinu, his father, who is mishpot, as the pasuk says, mishpot utzedakah be'Yaakov, so we see that Yaakov Avinu is mishpot. Yaakov Avinu, who is mishpot, gave the bechayra, which is the power of tefila, to Yosef HaTzadik, kemoy shekosuv, as the pasuk says, va'ani nosati lecho Shechem. Yaakov Avinu said, I gave you Shechem. I'm the one that gave you the double portion. Ani daika, Why did it have to come from me? Shehu bechinas mishpat. Because Yaakov Avinu was zeichet to this madrega of mishpat. The Torah testifies about him that he is the concept of mishpat. And mishpat goes together with tzedakah. So Yaakov Avinu, who is mishpat, through the fact that Yosef HaTzadik showed tzedakah to him, he was charitable to Yaakov Avinu, these two came together. Mishpat and tzedakah came together. And through that, Yosef HaTzadik was zeichet to Bechira, which is Tefillah.
The Bechira
Good question. There's a question here. The question, it seems in the beginning that the Bechira, in the beginning of the chapter, we said that the birthright, which is Tefillah, is dependent on Tikkun HaBris. We said Chagoyer Charbecho Al Yorech. Now, it seems that we're deviating from that and we're saying that the Bechira is dependent on Tzedakah. Which one is it? The answer is both. If you look in the Gemara in Baba Basra there, this Gemara, Daf Kuf Chav Gimel, that Rabbi Nizal is quoting over here, you see that the Gemara says there were two things that happened here. Number one, Reuven forfeited the Bechira. He lost the Bechira. Why did he lose it? The Torah says clearly, Ayidei Shechilel Yitzuei Oviv, that because he disgraced the bed of his father, that's what forced him to relinquish the Bechira. Meaning, implying that if the Bechira represents Tefillah, which is a sword, and this sword is wrapped around the thigh area, when there's a pegam in the thigh area, in Tikkun HaBris, the sword falls off, in a sense. Picture a person running out to battle, he's running, and suddenly he looks at, and the sword's not there anymore, the belt fell off. Why? Because he was pegam in the Bris Kodesh. That's number one. Fine, that's how Reuven lost it. The question is, what did Yosef HaTzadik do that was exceptional enough to pick it up, to acquire it? The answer is, there are two things. Number one, in the area of Tikkun HaBris, Yosef HaTzadik was perfection. He is HaTzadik, he is perfection. But the Gemara seems to imply that that wasn't enough. Once it didn't originally belong to him, he had to do something over and above Tikkun HaBris to be able to make him deserving of it when it wasn't his place, in a sense. What was that? The tzedakah that he did. This vayichalke l'sove v'secho, the fact that he supported Yaakov Avinu, that's what pushed it over, tipped the scales over on his side, in a sense, in making him 100% deserving of Bechira. Because Bechira is tefillah, and part of one of the main things that makes a person acquire tefillah is tzedakah. As the Shulchan Aruch says, before you daven, don't take any chances. You want your tefillah to be effective. You want a bullseye. You want to shoot arrows and you don't want them poking to the sides. You want to go right into the center of Hashem's heart, kaviyochel. The Gemara says, give tzedakah first. So too when the Yidden came to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the center of tefillah, right? Ki beisi beis tefillah yikorei l'cholamim. That's what the Pasuk says. The Beis HaMikdash was the center for korbonos, sacrifices, which is the basis for our tefillah today. The Gemara says that the tefillahs that we have are in place of the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. This is why in the Beis HaMikdash the rule was v'lo'ero es ponai reikom, that a Jew wasn't allowed to show up to the Beis HaMikdash, unless they first brought a gift. Why? The Beis HaMikdash is the symbol of tefillah, ki beisi beis tefillah. That's what the Pasuk says. And in order, the prerequisite for tefillah is tzedakah, as Rabbi Nizal explains here.
Rabbi Nizal compares tefillah to the sword, which we're explaining as a machama. What exactly is the machama that's going on with tefillah?
The question is, Rabbi Nizal compares tefillah to a sword, and Rabbi Nizal discusses a war. What war are we talking about here? The answer is this war is on several levels. Generally, whenever the Torah uses the word war, it's always referring to Melchemes Hayetzer, the battle that each individual Jew has with their own evil inclination, their own Yetzirah. That's number one. On a larger scale, it's the battle that the Jewish nation on a whole is battling against the nations of the world, which are symbolized by the Yetzirah. He is their ambassador. He is their symbol. These are the two milchamos that we're referring to here. The milchemes hayetzer, a Jew's own individual battle for success in life in terms of Yiddishkeit, where his main keli of melchama is tefillah, and secondly, the battle that Klal Yisrael wages against the Umay Soilam, where again, the main kli melchama is tefillah. Now, just to pause here for a second, we're up to paragraph Hey. I feel bad. I just noticed that accidentally, when we were in paragraph Beis, we left out a little piece. There's a little piece on the side. If you go back to the previous page, in small lettering a little bit, that's attached to paragraph Beis that we didn't really cover. Let's make sure that we don't skip anything. Go back, it'll take 2 minutes. Rabbi Nezal says, V'alkein, and therefore, this is on page 2 in our Likutei Moran's left-hand column, all the way down within paragraph Beis. I believe so, either Rabbi Nezal or Rabbi Nosson Zal, I believe so. V'alkein, and therefore, Yosef, b'shvil shezoch lebechinas tefillah, shebechinas tilos yechdam, because of the fact that Yosef HaTzadik was zeche to the birthright, which is synonymous with tefillah, which is this concept of utehilosi echdam loch, we said that that's symbolized by the nose, because the nose is the main source of life of a person, just as tefillah is the main source of life of a person. Which is synonymous with the life of a person, which is drawn through the nostrils. Alkein nikra ben poiros Yosef. This is why Yosef HaTzadik is called ben poiros. When Yaakov Avinu gave each one of the sons a bracha in Parshas Vayechi, he gave each one of them titles or nicknames. The title given to Yosef HaTzadik was ben poiros. Poiros means fruitful. Poiros means many things. Now Rabbi Nezal says, Shehem Bechinas Tof Reish Peivov Oirois. The word Poiros also refers to the 686 lights. Shehem Zayin Shemois Ov Sog Mo Bon Kaso Kano Kamag. This refers to seven names of Hashem, the four different combinations of Yud Kei Vov Kei. When Hashem's name Yud Kei Vov Kei is spelled out in its full form, where we write each letter as a word, the letter Yud, we write it as if it were written Yud Vov Dalid. The letter He, the Arizal says, can be spelled three different ways: He Aleph, He He, or He Yud. The letter Vov can be spelled, the way we pronounce it, can be spelled Vov Vov, Vov, like with a kumetz under the first vov, or vov aleph vov, or vov yud vov. So that the Arizal tells us that there are four different miluim of yud kei vov kei. There are four different forms that Hashem's name yud kei vov kei takes on. The highest one is called Hashem ayin beis, where Hashem's name yud kei vov kei is spelled as follows: yud vov dalet, hey yud, vov yud vov, Hey Yud. If you add up the numerical value of the letters, these 10 letters, as I just said them, it's exactly Begimatria 72. The second format is exactly the same as the first, only instead of spelling the Vov, Vov Yud Vov, it's spelled Vov Aleph Vov, which means 9 less. So instead of 72, you have 63. The third milui is the Shem Mo, Memhe 45, which is Yud Vov Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vov Aleph Vov, Hey Aleph. And the fourth milui is called Shem Bon, which is Yud Vov Dalet, Hey Hey, Vov Vov, Hey Hey. That's the way it's spelled, right? 20, 30, 40, and 12 is 52 exactly. These are the four miluyim of Hashem's name. Now you could ask, aren't there different ways of doing it? The Arizal gives very deep explanations as to exactly why it is this way. You can bet that there are reasons exactly why the letters are laid out this way. These are called the four miluyim of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Another name of Hashem, the Shem Ekye, Aleph Hey Yud Kei, which is one of the names of Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, he said, Hashem's name said, my name is Ekye Asher Ekye. That name is also one of the very deep names of Hashem that corresponds to Keser, to Bino. The Arizal says that name of Hashem has three formats to it. The Arizal says one of them again is where the Heys are spelled with Yuds. So Aleph is spelled Aleph Lamed Pei. Hey is spelled Hey Yud, Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, and the second Hey is spelled Hey Yud again. The second one is Kuf Nun Aleph, whereby the Heys are spelled Hey Hey, and the third one is Kuf Mem Gimel, where the Heys are spelled with Alephs, where the Gematria comes out to be 143. These are the three. These seven names of Hashem in the Zohar HaKadosh are referred to as a package. They are, the Zohar HaKadosh Ne'aris are going to deep explanations as to what this package of Ekye and Yudke Vovke forms in terms of the Midos of Hashem, in terms of the Sfirois, etc. So now, Rabbein Azal says, this is why Yosef HaTzadik is called Ben Poiros Yosef, which is these seven names of Hashem, She'olim Tofresh Pevov, which are Bigimatria 686. When you add together these seven, the Gematria is Tofresh Pevov, She'mekabel Minukvo de Pardashka. And these seven names of Hashem, we know, draw their light from the nostrils, Kaviochel, of Hashem. Ki Pardashka Bigimatria Tofresh Pevov. Because the Aramaic word for nostrils, for nose, is pardashka. And the word pardashka is bigimatria poiros, exactly. So we see that the word poiros that's used in the Chumash to refer to Yosef HaTzadik, that's the bracha that was given, that's the title that was given to him, that title shows his success in tefillah. Tefillah is compared to the nose, we said, utihilosi echdam loch, and the nose is pardashka in Aramaic. Yosef HaTzadik, who is called Poiros, Poiros is bigimatria pardashka, showing that this is his koyach. His koyach is this success in tefillah. Now, Rabbi, okay, so we discussed three important items, that lend support and strength to tefillah. One was Shmira Sabris, the second one was Mishpat, and the third is tzedakah. Now Rabbein Azal says, there is one item that impedes a person's tefillah. There's one item that creates problems to a person's davening, which is machshavos zoros. Many people, when they daven to Hashem, they find that their minds are bombarded with outside thoughts. Rabbein Azal says in another chapter in Likutei Moharan that the Hebrew word for tefillah is tehillah. Tof hei lamed hei means tefillah, is another word for tefillah. And Rabbein Azal says the word tehillah also means confusion. There's a pasuk that says, u'bemalochov yosim tohola. Hashem places confusion in his malochim. Rabbein Azal says it's no coincidence that these two words are identical, because tefillah is the place where a person finds his mind most confused. The most bilbulin that a person has in life are bedafka during the time when he's davening. That's the time when his brain becomes the biggest cholent, where every kind of outside thought imaginable comes in and he finds his mind dashing from one thing to the next, anything but concentrating on what he's saying. So Rabbein Azal says now, V'ikr shel hamachshavos zorois heim al yedei kilkul hamishpot. The main concept of outside thoughts that a person has during tefillah come because of a spoilage in mishpat. Ki mishpat hu bechinas ein. Rabbein Azal is going to explain how we see this now. Ki mishpat hu bechinas einin. Judgment is based on a person's eyes. The Gemara says that when it comes to a shofet, a judge is not supposed to judge by feelings or by what he heard 5 weeks ago. The Gemara says, "Ein ladayin el mashein of royos." He only sees, he only has what's in front of his eyes. It's only what's presented before him in the courtroom, what he sees in front of him, that's what he's allowed to go by. He's not allowed to go by hearsay or anything else. So we see that mishpat is related to the eyes. Rabbein Azal says, "Ki mishpat hu bechinas einin, kemay shekosu," as the pasuk says in the Torah, "Vayovoyu el ein mishpat." They came to a place that was called ein mishpat. So we see an association between mishpat and ayin. And Rabbein Azal says, "Ze bechinas ein Yaakov," and we know that there's another pasuk in the Torah that uses the term ein Yaakov. And we showed earlier that Yaakov Avinu was a bechina of mishpat, mishpat utzedoka biYaakov. So we see that mishpat definitely goes together with the ayin. Validei kilkul mishpat, and through a spoilage in mishpat, bo kilkul la'ainin, it causes a problem for the eyes. K'may shekosav, as the Torah says, ki ha-shoychad ye'aver einei chachomim. The Torah says that bribery clouds the eyes of intelligent people. Note, what is shoychad? Shoychad is a kilkul mishpat. Bribery means something that's interfering with the legal process of the law, with justice, with what's right in a courtroom. What does it affect? It spoils the eyes. It spoils mishpat, which is synonymous with the eyes. Rabbi Nizal says, ze bechinas machshavoy zoros shebetfila. This is the concept of outside thoughts that bombard a person during the time that he's davening. Shehem anonin de mechasin al einin. They are compared to clouds that cover up a person's eyes, blocking him from being able to see clearly. What does that have anything to do with tefillah? The answer is, k'mo shekosov, there's a posik in Eicha that says, sakoiso be'onon loch me'avor tefillah. You, Hashem, have covered yourself, have separated yourself from us with clouds, not allowing our prayers to pass through. So we see that there is a certain object called clouds, anonin, and these anonin, their purpose is at times to block a Jew's tefillah from getting through to Hashem. That's point number one. Point number two, there's another reference to these clouds that's made in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh discusses anonin de mechasin al ho'ainin, that there are times that a Jew, as an individual, finds their eyes cloudy. He finds his eyes covered with clouds where he can't see straight. His judgment is unclear. His or her judgment becomes cloudy, unclear. Now, judgment is something that's needed for tefillah. We said mishpat utztaka bi'akov, all of these psukim. So Rabbi Nizal says, this is one of the problems that a person has when it comes to tefillah. These anonin, the mechasna lainim, these clouds that attempt to be mekalkel the mishpat. Ula osid, in the future, sheyisukan bechinas mishpat, when mishpat, when justice will be perfected in the world, k'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, tzion b'mishpat tipodeh, that when Mashiach will come, the city of Yerushalayim, tzion, will be redeemed with mishpat, the justice will be fulfilled. As the oz yisabru anon in the mechasna leino, then, when the mishpat is perfected, it means the clouds are eliminated. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tziyayin. Now we know why the pasuk says the Jews will see with one eye and with the other eye when Hashem will return to tziyayin. Why ayin ba'ayin b'shuv Hashem el tziyayin? Because tziyayin is Yosef. Tziyayin, the Arizal says, is bigimatria Yosef. Tzion is the symbol of Yosef HaTzadik, which is the symbol of Tefillah, which is the symbol of Bechira. This Tzion depends very much on Mishpat. When the Mishpat is perfect, the Tefillah is perfect. When the Mishpat is cloudy, then the eyes are cloudy, then the Tefillah is pogum. The sword is stabbing, but it's not stabbing in the center. It's not really being effective. When Mashiach comes and the pasuk says Tzion b'mishpat tipodeh, that justice will be put in its right place, then ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem asir tzion. Then the Jews' eyes will no longer be clouded. Both their eyes will be able to see very clearly, which means their koyach hatfilah will be perfect. They won't suffer anymore from these machshavos zoros, which are compared to anon in the mechasna al ha'inin, because these thoughts that are in a person's mind, what are they doing? They're blocking your kavono. They're blocking your concentration. A person's machshava is synonymous with the eyes. Proof is the pasuk by Adam and Chava, "Vatipokachno einei shnehem." Their eyes were filled with wisdom, seichel. The machshava, the thought process of a person, is usually most associated with the eyes. V'hayu einecho royos esmeirecho. The concept of looking at the letters of the Torah, oisies machkimos, you have to look at them. So the ikar seichel, the ikar koyach machshava, is dependent on the eyes. When we discuss a person's machshava being weak, it's a concept of the eyes being clouded. That's these machshava zoros during tefillah. Period. So Rabbein Azal touched on one of the items that presents a problem in tefillah, which is this issue of machshavay zorois, and Rabbein Azal showed the connection between that and one of the major things that's needed for tefillah, which is mishpat. We'll try to just sneak in the next paragraph because it's so critical and so important, and then we'll stop there. Rabbein Azal says, "Sivo v'tzorich kol echod lechavein b'tfilosoi shi'kasher atzmoi letzadikim shabadoyer." Now Rabbein Azal stressing a point that's not necessarily mentioned in that many other sforim. Rabbein Azal says, a Jew must see to it to concentrate in his tefillah that he's attaching his tefillah to the tzaddikim of the generation. Not that I'm going one-on-one with Hashem, I'm simply presenting my tefillah to Hashem, it's me and Hashem, but rather I'm saying to it to take my tefillah and attach it to the tzaddikim of the generation. Why? Rabbein Azal explains. We just learned earlier that tefillah is synonymous with Moshiach, that Moshiach is going to be the most successful individual in Klal Yisrael in tefillah, because all other kings of the Jewish people conquered, but their conquests were temporary. The conqueror of the Jews, where his conquests will be forever, is Moshiach. He's going to be the Iker Menatzeach in the Milchama. The Milchama is totally in tefillah, which means he's going to be the most successful one in tefillah. Now Rabbein Azal is going to show us what is Moshiach. Ki kol tzaddik shebedoyer hu bechinas Moshe Moshiach. Every single tzaddik of every single generation represents a concept of Moshe Rabbeinu and a concept of Moshiach. Who says? The answer is the Zohar HaKadosh says, clearly, Moshe Isa b'chol dora v'dora. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Moshe Rabbeinu is found in every single generation. Where is he found? Among the true leaders of Klal Yisrael. His neshama, because of the fact that he was the leader of Klal Yisrael when it was formed as a nation, Hashem never threw him away. Hashem didn't put Moshe Rabbeinu into mothballs somewhere in an attic for a couple of thousand years and he's going to come out later. The Zohar HaKadosh says Moshe is leading the Jewish people in every generation. Where? There are sparks of his neshama that are found within the leaders, the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael in every generation. That's what gives them the authority and the right and the power to lead properly. So therefore, Rabbein Azal says, "Kol tzaddik shebedoyer hu bechinas Moshe Moshiach." Every single tzaddik of every generation is a concept of Moshe Moshiach. Where does Moshiach fit in? Rabbein Azal explains. As we find in the Gemara, Hatzadikim Koiren Zeloze Moshe. The Gemara, in several places, where two rabbis in the Gemara were discussing a point, when one rabbi made a beautiful statement, the Gemara says his friend would say to him, Moshe Shapir Kamrit. Even though his name wasn't Moshe, his name was Rav Safra, his friend said to him, Moshe, you said a wonderful thing. Why did he call him Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he was a rabbi in Klal Yisrael, a leader in Klal Yisrael. His friend was showing him that respect. I recognize that you have a part of Moshe Rabbeinu in you. That if you brought forth a beautiful concept in Torah, obviously you have a nitzutz, a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu in you. This is why they gave each other this nickname, Moshe Shapir Kamrit. Rabbein Azal says, Moshe zebechinas Moshiach. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is synonymous with the concept of Moshiach. K'moshe kosuv, as the Pasuk says in Chumash, where Yaakov Avinu was giving the brachas to his sons, he gave a bracha to Yehuda, where he said, Ad ki yavoi shiloi v'loi yikas amim. That Yehuda would be the leader, the king of Klal Yisrael. From him would come forth Dovra Melech, and he will lead Ad ki yavoi shiloi, until shiloi will come, v'loi yikas amim, and to him will gather all the nations of the world. All of them will become subservient to him. So Rashi HaKadosh says, who is shiloi? Shiloi is Moshiach. The Zohar HaKadosh says, who is shiloi? Shiloi is Moshe Rabbeinu. K'moshe kosuv ad ki yavoi shiloi, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, do Moshe Moshiach. Shiloi is Bigimatria Moshe. Shin Yud Lamed Hei is Bigimatria Moshe. So that Shiloi is one of the nicknames of Moshiach, And Shiva is also Bigimatria Moshe. Because Moshiach and Moshe Rabbeinu will come together, the Zohar HaKadosh says. There's going to be three leaders of Klal Yisrael at that time. There's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu flanked by two Moshiachs. Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David. Just like the letter Aleph, you have the Vav in the middle, the Yud on top, the Yud on bottom. The Zohar HaKadosh says that letter is the symbol of the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Aleph is first, the leader. That's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu together with the two Moshiachs, flanked by the two Moshiachs. So we see that the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu and the concept of Moshiach go together. They're attached. So Rabbi Nizal says now that a person must attach his tefillah to the Tzadikei Ador, which are the concept of Moshe Moshiach. V'chol tefillah, tefillah shekol echad mispalel, hi bechinas eiver mehashchina. Rabbi Nizal explains now, each and every single tefillah that every single Jew davens represents an organ of the Shechina. A toe, a foot, a hand, an eye of the Shechina, kaviyochel. And Rabbi Nizal says, Shehem Evrei HaMishkon, which is also symbolized by the Evorim of the Mishkon. Mishkon is Miloshen Shechina. V'osuli Mikdosh v'shochanti b'seichon. Hashem said, you will build for me a Mishkon, a Beis HaMikdosh, and I will rest among you. The Zohar HaKadosh shows how within the different forms that existed within the Beis HaMikdosh, within the Mishkan, the Menorah, the Shulchan, those were all different tzirufim, symbolic of different names of Hashem, of different formats, kaviyochel, of the light of Hashem. So we see that kaviyochel, when we speak about the parts of the Shekhinah, it's synonymous with referring to the parts of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the symbol of the presence of the Shekhinah among Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Nizal says now, She'ein shum echot miYisrael yochel la'ayla shayfa b'shayfa kol chad l'duchte ela Moshe b'l'choid. We know for a fact that when it came to building the Mishkan, no Jew in the world, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, had the knowledge and the authority to put it together. The Jews gave ingredients. Every Jew contributed. One gave copper, silver, gold, wood, knowledge, everything. They all contributed. The one individual who had the authority and the knowledge, la'aylo shayfa b'shayfa, to put the pieces together, the Zohar HaKadosh says, and to make it happen, was only Moshe Rabbeinu. And we see the Torah says clearly, Bishvil ze tzorech lohaviu lekasher kol atfilois letzadik hadoyer. And this is exactly the reason why the Jews must see to it to bring our tfilois to the tzadik of the generation. K'moshe kosuv, as the posuk says, vayoviu es hamishkon el Moshe, that the Yidden brought the ingredients of the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Why didn't each person build it themselves? The answer is because that's not the way Hashem wanted it. Hashem wanted the Jews to prepare ingredients, but the ingredients had to be brought to the tzaddik, to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the one who knows what to do with it, what to make of it, how to put it together to form a binyan that represents a tikkun for the Shekhinah. V'hu yodei ala'aylo shayfa b'shayfa. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who knew how to put one board together with the other board, how to piece it together to form the presence of the Shekhinah there. And to make it into a complete binyan. As the pasuk says, Vayokom Moshe es HaMishkon. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who established the Mishkan. What do you mean? What kind of baloney? The whole Jewish people did it. Why are we giving the credit to Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is, all the Jews were required to give, to contribute ingredients. One person has the authority to take that ingredients and build it and lay it out properly in order for it to serve as a resting place for the Shekhinah. Who is that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nizal here draws a perfect parallel between these two items. The building of the Mishkan and our tefillos, for which the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal all explain that the whole purpose of tefillah is to build up the Shekhinah. As soon as the Jews have finished praying enough prayers and davening enough, the koima of the Shekhinah will be totally bishleimus, then Mashiach will come and the third Beis HaMikdash will be uncovered, everything is going to happen. The exact example the exact manner in which Kaviyochel Hashem instructed the Jewish people to go about building the Mishkan is exactly the same manner through which we go about building the Shekhinah Kaviyochel in a spiritual sense with our tefillah. We are required to daven, but before we begin our tefillah, we say Hareini Mekasher Atzmi L'chol Tzadikim Amitim Shebedoreinu U'lechol Tzadikim Amitim Sheikh Neofor Kedoshim Asher Bor Etzema. That I'm not davening myself, I'm not shooting up, I don't feel big enough to send up a tefillah, and my tefillah is going to pass through all the malachim and all the gates that it has to go through, and it's going to accomplish everything it has to accomplish simply because it's got my signature on it? No, that's not the way. The way is that I daven. Something must come for me. However, I direct my tefillah to Hashem, 100%. I'm not directing my tefillah to the tzaddik, the tefillah is directed to Hashem. However, I make it crystal clear that I want the tzaddik to be involved in this process. I want him to do the part that he and only he can do, which is to take my tefillah, put it together with the tefillahs of all the rest of the Jewish people, and form the package that's needed to build up the Shekhinah.